the cases will continue to rise if we don't have a vaccine to stem things, a vaccine to even produce to give us some herd immunity.
COVID vaccines roll out slowly. It's Friday, January 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, getting the vaccine to soldiers. A new U.S. president is in the White House. Keeping children safe from guns. Hope for greater press freedom. Riding on the water. It's all on today's VOA Asia. This week, the head of the World Health Organization warned that the world is on the brink of a catastrophic moral failure over the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. This comes after some countries are already well underway with their vaccine campaigns, while others do not know when they will get their first shots. We hear more from VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo.
As some countries ramp up vaccinations against COVID-19, the head of the World Health Organization warns the prospects for equitable vaccine distribution are at serious risk.
More than 39 million doses of vaccine have now been administered in at least 49 higher-income countries. Just 25 doses have been given in one lowest-income country. Not 25 million, not 25,000, just 25.
Speaking at the World's Body Annual Executive Board meeting in Geneva this week, Tedros Ghebreyesus said it's not right that younger, healthier adults in rich countries get vaccinated against COVID-19 before older people in poorer countries.
Not only does this me-first approach leave the world's poorest and most vulnerable people at risk, it's also self-defeating. Ultimately, these actions will only prolong the pandemic, prolong our pain. The restrictions needed to contain it and human and economic suffering.
Global coronavirus cases have exceeded 96 million according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The United States, India, Brazil, Russia, and Britain are the five most affected nations. Though some countries have been inoculating parts of their populations since December, African health authorities, for example, say it could be weeks, even months, until they get their first shots. With over 113,000 cases and more than 1,450 deaths, Nigerian Dr. Oluwajoba Orogi says cases are mounting every day, and he and his colleagues are feeling drained.
The cases will continue to rise if we don't have a vaccine to stem things, a vaccine to even produce, to give us some herd immunity. So that continues to mean more work stress, more mental stress, more stress on all the resources that I, as an individual, and the facility has to offer.
Also this week, President Joe Biden said he will reverse the decision to withdraw the United States from the World Health Organization and is sending American immunologist Anthony Fauci to the WHO Executive Board meeting this week to help develop an international COVID-19 response plan. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Find out more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and we invite you to stop by our website. That's voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Biden administration criticizes China sanctions on former Trump officials. Thailand charges opposition figures with defaming king. Twitter says it locked account of China's U.S. embassy over Xinjiang-related tweet. Bangladesh expects to start Rohingya repatriation to Myanmar in June. Fire rips through COVID-19 vaccine plant in India. You'll find more on all these stories online as you visit VOA Asia Facebook and our website, voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The U.S. military has so far contained the coronavirus within its ranks. That's thanks in part to strict discipline and the ability to easily enforce social distancing rules on military bases. But as the Pentagon rolls out COVID-19 vaccines, it is encountering a new challenge: how to convince service members to voluntarily take the vaccine. More from VOA's Bill Gallo in Seoul.
The first doses of the coronavirus vaccine arriving at Camp Humphreys, the largest overseas U.S. military base. A big step toward protecting the nearly 30,000 U.S. troops here in South Korea. But at least for now, the military won't be forcing anyone to receive the vaccine. Military officials tell VOA it could be up to 2 years before the U.S. Food and Drug Administration gives the vaccine full approval that would allow it to become mandatory. Colonel Doug Luger, the lead U.S. medical officer in South Korea, who spoke to VOA remotely, says it's an unusual situation for military leaders.
Here in the military, especially, you know, the Army, we're not used to telling people to volunteer or asking them to volunteer for things like this. That's been an interesting thing to work through to help make sure people make good, informed decisions.
Like anywhere else, there has been some skepticism about the vaccine, which was developed much more quickly than many expected. To allay those concerns, the military rolled out educational campaigns to combat disinformation. And to set an example, senior leaders were among the first to get the shots.
I think we're hitting about the right tone with that, not ceding the battlefield to the conspiracy theorists, getting the information out there, but on the other hand, not being overbearing or strong-arming people.
Luger says the U.S. military does have experience administering voluntary vaccines, but not at this level or with this much urgency. So far, the plan is working, says Colonel Lee Peters.
Since we've seen the vaccine and people have kind of like observed and watched and did their own research and education, we've seen those numbers grow dramatically to where I would say very few people are now saying, hey, I don't want the vaccine.
Military officials won't say how many have taken the vaccine here in South Korea. For now, frontline health workers and other critical positions are first in line. Eventually, the vaccine will be available to everyone who wants it. But it's not clear when it will be mandatory. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, a worker trapped in a gold mine for more than a week has died as rescuers tried to clear debris and improve ventilation to save 21 others also stuck deep below ground. That's according to state media reporting on Thursday. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us as we wrap up an eventful week at VOA Asia. Former Vice President Joseph R. Biden became the 46th President of the United States on Wednesday, taking the oath of office in an inauguration unlike any other in American history. We hear more from VOA's congressional correspondent, Catherine Gibson.
The President-elect of the United States.
The power of the U.S. presidency was peacefully transferred Wednesday amid unprecedented security.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
Democrat Joseph R. Biden, Barack Obama's former vice president, became the 46th president of the United States, standing on the steps of a building that was attacked exactly 2 weeks ago by supporters of former President Donald Trump. Biden sending a clear message about the assault and the efforts to overturn his election.
Democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed.
He then called on the country to move forward together.
Politics doesn't have to be a raging fire, destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured.
Biden assumes the presidency facing multiple crises, among them the coronavirus pandemic that has killed 400,000 Americans.
We're entering what may be the toughest and deadliest period of the virus. We must set aside politics and finally face this pandemic as one nation.
He will be assisted by Vice President Kamala Harris.
The duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
The first woman in U.S. history to hold that office, as well as the first woman of color and Indian American. Traditional inauguration festivities were muted for security reasons and also to observe pandemic safety protocols. Hundreds of flags decorated the National Mall where people would have stood. And a record 25,000 National Guard troops were on hand to prevent any further security breaches. Protests were limited.
The end is near.
In a first in modern presidential history, President Trump chose not to attend the ceremony or welcome his successor to the White House. Vice President Mike Pence taking his place instead. But Biden had a message to Trump's supporters.
Take a measure of me and my heart. And if you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. The right to dissent peaceably.
Biden assumes the presidency backed by a Democratic-controlled U.S. Senate and House, a powerful partner in his first-term agenda to combat climate change, pass immigration reform, and to rebuild America's image abroad.
We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again, not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's challenges.
The oldest person to ever assume the office of the president, Biden has planned out an intensive 10-day sprint to jumpstart his administration's agenda. That will include a renewed attempt to rebuild the American economy with a new round of coronavirus aid. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. At least five people are dead after a fire broke out at the Serum Institute of India. The company said the blaze would not affect production of the COVID-19 vaccine. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We continue with VOA Asia. Children were among hundreds of victims of a spike in homicides across the United States last year. VOA's Veronica Balderas-Iglesias visited disadvantaged communities in the nation's capital looking for effective ways to prevent new tragedies in 2021.
A bittersweet birthday celebration in Washington, D.C. for a boy who couldn't be present.
It hurts so bad. It hurts really, really bad. He was only 11 years old. He had so much ahead of his life. He had a future for just to be taken away.
Sixth grader Devon McNeil was killed by a stray bullet on July 4th, 2020, U.S. Independence Day. Four suspects, apparently part of a gang feud, are in custody while an investigation continues.
It has happened to so many families in D.C., you know, why? Why are we left to mourn our loved ones, especially our children?
Despite a more than $60 million federal push to reduce killings, not counting suicides, there were more than 19,000 gun violence homicides last year, the highest number in 20 years. The average homicide rate in 21 cities increased 32% over 2019, with 198 reported in D.C. alone, also a sharp increase. Criminologist Richard Rosenfeld in part blames COVID-19 and the disruption of police patrol routines to address mass protests after George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer.
The impact of the pandemic on policing, the possible deterioration of so-called police legitimacy in communities hard hit by the increase in violence and by police violence, that can make for a deadly combination that sends overall rates of violence up.
One strategy to keep crime in check, hiring so-called violence interrupters. Devon's mother, Crystal McNeil, used to work in that role for the D.C. government. She built relationships in troubled communities and encouraged people to put down their weapons. Devon's grandfather leads the D.C. Guardian Angels. They take a similar approach, but courageous as they are, these outreach initiatives struggle against limited resources and red tape, and results are mixed, in part because root causes, economics and racism, persist.
If you have a community where they're dealing with the similar circumstances, where it's poverty, where it's lack of education, where it's lack of food, where like these individuals are constantly in survival mode, and they so easily can get a gun, you're going to see what you're going to, you know, you're going to see the statistics at a high level.
Everyone is so quick to jump, judge, and persecute that they don't stop to ask the questions, what are your needs and what hasn't been met, that we can make your situation better. And these people are angry. The kids are angry. The teenagers are angry. The young adults are angry because they're tired.
President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, which must pass Congress, includes substantial financial aid and mental health resources for struggling Americans, particularly in poor communities. Locally, a budget of $2.4 million has been approved for D.C.'s Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement for violence prevention and intervention in 2021. But cities around the country could also opt for a less expensive approach. It's called Focus Deterrence.
Those at high risk for violence to become the next victim or the next perpetrator are typically called into meetings held by the criminal justice community and the social service community, and they're given a two-pronged message. The one at first is, look, we obviously know who you are. The second message is, here are services and supports that can help. Basically, then, the choice is yours.
After losing her grandson, Mrs. Ayala wants all illegal weapons off the streets and the court system to rethink releasing prisoners due to COVID. One was allegedly involved in the shooting that took Devon's life.
There have been so many that have been released with violent and gun charges that have come out and murdered more people. The court system has to change. Come on, judges, you got to do a better job.
Veronica Valderas Iglesias for VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, Pakistan says it will receive a 500,000 free doses of China's Sinopharm COVID-19 vaccine by January 31st. The foreign minister stressed the Chinese vaccine is being gifted to Islamabad as a goodwill gesture from Beijing. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, after 4 years of hostility between the U.S. president and much of the news media, press advocates are hoping for a reset. VOA's press freedom editor Jessica Jarrett has more.
U.S. journalists are working in an increasingly hostile environment, facing physical attacks and verbal assault from protesters and law enforcement, not to mention relentless verbal attacks by outgoing U.S. President Donald Trump. The pro-Trump mob that assaulted the U.S. Capitol smashed equipment of an Associated Press crew. They charged and yelled epithets at journalists, assaulted crews, and scrawled "Murder the Media" on the building's doors. Over the past 4 years, pipe bombs were sent to CNN. A gunman killed 5 people in the Capital Gazette newsroom in Annapolis. And the government spied on journalists covering the migrant caravans at the southwest border.
It wasn't simply a matter of the president and his aides not liking coverage, which is normal, but they attacked true things in ways that were dangerous and posed physical threats to journalists.
Oh, I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are. They are the enemy of the people.
And to anybody that would ask a nasty question
That's
like
not
that,
a nasty-
when you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people.
Trump and his supporters accused the media of treating him harshly and unfairly.
Coverage of any president, really any leader, is by definition not going to, most of the time, be complimentary. That's not usually what makes news. So the scrutiny that Donald Trump got is true. Of course, there was a lot of scrutiny, but that is the job of the press.
Critics say U.S. support for press freedom has diminished on the international stage, where America has historically been a leader. One example is its widely criticized response to the killing of Washington Post correspondent Jamil Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia's Istanbul consulate. Suzanne Nossel of the human rights and free speech group PEN America spoke with VOA by phone.
In the case of Jamal Khashoggi, you know, they made quite clear that they were not going to let this butchering of a journalist interfere with their relationship with the Saudi government.
She says organizations like hers lose leverage to free jail journalists without support from the U.S. government and its bilateral relations around the world. The State Department has applauded the courage and determination of independent media, and in statements condemned politically motivated persecutions, impunity and attacks, and the threats levelled at female journalists. The White House also had some success, including ongoing efforts to free Austin Tice, an American freelancer missing in Syria since 2012. Incoming President Joe Biden says he will defend the rights of activists and journalists and work to restore relations with the media. But analysts say his press freedom record is less than ideal. The Obama-Biden administration saw tighter access to information, prosecution of sources, and seized journalists' phone records.
Those were very, very dangerous things and things that we weren't used to seeing in the U.S. either. And those happened during the Obama-Biden administration. So definitely those of us who advocate for press freedom and access to information are watching warily for what will happen during the Biden-Harris administration.
Advocates are pressing for toned-down rhetoric, more protections for media covering protests and unrest, and for the U.S. to stand up for press freedom. Again, Suzanne Nossel, CEO of PEN America.
The Biden administration needs to start speaking out on behalf of individual journalists around the world who are targeted.
As the U.S. enters a new presidency, journalists and rights groups will be pushing for press freedom to be a priority. Jessica Jarre, VOA News.
Let's take a ride on a new kind of bike, one that skirts across lakes and waterways, powered by an electric engine and a battery. Michelle Quinn got a ride.
It looks like something out of the future, a bike that skates on top of the water. It began, as these things do, with a dream. In this one, the company founder was biking on an estuary.
When he woke up, he could only describe it as the same experience that he'd experienced on the land. And that inspired him to be like, how can we replicate cycling, but now on the water?
And so the Manta 5 was born. It is a waterproof electric bike that transforms lakes and rivers into new arenas for cycling enthusiasts. There are pedals, a 460-watt electric motor, and a battery, which lasts for more than 3 hours. Not that much different from an electric bike. But this is something different. Carbon fiber wings called foils act like airplane wings. GPS, tilt sensors, and an accelerometer help get the rider out of the water.
And as you start pedaling, the motor will give you extra boost and you're able to come up onto the plane.
It's different than riding a bike on the road.
We don't have a wheel, so the whole feedback system is quite different. So we use GPS for speed.
The bike can go 20 kilometers per hour. Manta 5 envisions water biking as a way to open up waterways for people to explore, and maybe one day a future Olympic sport. The New Zealand company plans to cross the English Channel on the Manta 5 next summer. But first, people have to start doing it.
And then once you get the hang of it, it's like riding a bike.
It's like flying slowly over water. And then comes the reminder, this is not a dream. Stop pedaling, the battery cuts off, and you slowly start to sink. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Las Vegas.
That's our program for today. We're glad you could join us for VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. You'll also find our full-length programs on our website. That's voanews.com. We also like to thank those who help bring this program to you every day, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.